Blog Talk Radio.
Article 13 for right now, I need to do a little bit of research in what I wrote and come back and then represent it to the body. We talked about last week, we talked about finances. And, you know, finances is always an issue in any organization. How the organization, you know, it takes money to run things. Even if you're virtual, it takes money to run things. It costs you for your internet. It costs you for your phone. Those types of things. So it takes money to run anything in this world today. But we're really looking at much bigger things as far as what the Most High wants done. And so those are the financial things that we talked about concerning, you know, even gifts that are getting given and property that is donated and those types of things because, you know, people have a tendency when they give or they donate, they want to have a say in what's done with it. But the truth of the matter is once it's donated, it no longer belongs to them. And, you know, what's done with it. If there are specific, you know, we have specific funds set up for specific funds and specific accounts set up for specific things, and people are going to say, okay, I specifically want to donate to this cause. And that's what it'll go towards. But, you know, one of the things that we're having to look at and understand that in order for this to operate properly, when people come into this, they have to understand that this is really not a democracy. It's a theocracy. And the Most High government is set up in the way that we have this particular ministry set up is based upon a council, a governing body. Right now, that council is me. But as, you know, the Most High sees fit, however he sees fit to do it, then the different offices, I do want to put people into those positions. So let us do this. Shalom to everyone. Let us do our statement of faith, and then we will pray in, and then we will open this meeting. Okay. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, and for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise you, Lord. That's right. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Praise you, Heavenly Father. Praise the Holy Name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Heavenly Father. Jesus, holy mighty name. Thank you for the good advice. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. All right. Let the ladies cover their heads. Men, cover your heads if you're listening online somewhere. Men, uncover your heads. Ladies, cover your heads. Let's go to before the Most High in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Let us go to the book of Psalms. Psalms 133. The book of Psalms 133, and let me bring my Bible up. Can't believe I don't have it open. Book of Psalms, chapter 133. Only three verses. A song of ascent by David. See how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to live together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head that ran down on the beard, even Aaron's beard, that came down on the edge of his robes, like the dew of Hermon that comes down on the hills of Zion. For there Yah gave the blessings, even life, forevermore. Amen. May the Most High have a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen. All right.
Amen.
I make a motion that we call this business meeting to order.
I second
that motion.
Amen.
Amen.
All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. The ayes have it. All right. This meeting is officially, this business meeting is officially open. We, of course, want the Most High to always be the one that is in charge and over these things. As I said, as we're going through this document, and, you know, I thank you all for your patience and for your sincerity and for your, you know, dedication, because this is, it's a huge document. And once I finish it, as I said, I need to make it in a booklet form so that everyone that joins the organization understands, you know, just what it is that we believe, what rules we are governing ourselves by, and that we are faithful to this. Because, see, what happens to a lot of our brothers is, they may start off with good intention, but then, you know, nothing is in writing. And it's in somebody's head. And when, you know, even when it comes to, you know, taxes and things like that, how the government comes and gets them is because they don't have a document that says how they operate and who they're under. And so I thank you guys for being faithful, because most time this is a document probably 5 or 6 years in the making. When the Most High first gave me the vision that he gave me, and then, you know, going through just how this should be set up and how the organization should be established in the world. So even though we're a nonprofit, we are not a 501c3. And the government, not only the government of the United States recognizes us, but all the governments of the world recognize the way we're set up. So, you know, once we get everything in place, you know, IDs and everything, when we say you're a citizen of Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry, it is a government set up under, outside of the world government. That's why this is important. And it's important that you understand when becoming a member of this organization that you have rights and privileges that are like a citizen of another country. But you have to operate within that. So you have to know what is, you know, We can't be saying one thing and doing another. The world will say, see, told you they were a fraud. Told you that they just set up, you know, this way, and the Most High doesn't want that. So it's important that we have these documents in place, that everything is written out and that everybody is accountable. And so I thank each and every one of you for being faithful and going through these. And as we vote on them, they do become the rule of law as far as this document goes in this organization. We're talking about today Article, I'm going to skip Article 13 property, and we're going to come back to that. Because it is the goal of this organization to acquire property. But not just one property. We're talking about properties in every state, in every country. And so as the Most High, we have to understand that we are establishing a government. And a government, it has laws. It has, you know, it's structured. And wherever we go, you know, we are representing the Most High Elohim. So we're not just individuals, you know. I pray that everybody can, I pray that everybody can understand that this is not just a, it's not just a church, but it is actually establishing a nation. And the Most High says, you know, we are to establish His kingdom upon the earth, and that we're to spread the gospel into every nation. And so, you know, brothers and sisters just can't come in and we be like, oh, just do what you feel like. You know, as far as teaching and things like that, I always tell brothers to come as the Most High led them. But when it comes to structure and governance, you can't do that. The kingdom of the Most High has laws that we are supposed to abide by. And when the laws of the nation contradict with that, then our premises and our stance is we go by the laws of the Most High Elohim, as they are established in Scripture. And so a lot of churches find themselves in trouble because they have put themselves up under the governor, the governments of the world. In the United States, if you become a 501c3, you place yourself up under the government of the United States of America. And they can tell you what you can teach and preach from your pulpit. They can tell you, you know what, it is legal for two males to be married in this country now, and you can't preach against it. They can tell you that, you know what, these candidates, this is who we favor. You can't favor one candidate over another. Now, I haven't really gotten us too much into the politics, but if we want to affect change, you affect change by affecting the government. And so we have to look at these things because what I have found amongst Israel and amongst the 501c3 churches is that, number one, they want the money, so they become a 501c3, and then they cannot say certain things. So let's say if I took a 501c3, and then I want to preach against gay marriage, the government can come in and say, you know what, that's against your 501c3. All the tithes that you have ever received, we are now going to tax you on them. And all the people who gave tithes and wrote it off on their taxes, they're not going to be charged for those too. We're not going to allow them to write off it. We're going to go back and charge them taxes on that as well. We're going to take away your 501c3 status. So you can no longer get donations from these corporations. A lot of churches don't know that they're in that predicament. And they think that they can say whatever they want to. Until, if the government comes in and don't find you doing everything that you're supposed to do up under a 501c3, they take your status. They gave it to you so they can take it from you. But a natural church, according to the Constitution, is outside of the law. You can really become a church, a natural church, without ever filing any documents. That's the law of this land. So it's important that we understand the law. Now, there are other nonprofits that fall outside of the government, a church, natural church being one of those, and we want to make sure that that's where we're at, because the government of the Most High is outside of all the governments of the world. And when you say that you represent the Most High, you're not supposed to place yourself up under anybody but Him. And so understanding the law, understanding citizenship, understanding nationality, understanding all these things, they have to be in order. And if they're not in order, trust me, the governments of this world will come against you. And they will, you know, we find a lot of brothers getting charged for a lot of things. They had good intent. Hold on, I'm on call with the computer. All right, give me a second. Let me put myself on hold here.
Hallelujah. Hey, Sister Mary. Hey, BFF. Hey, Sister Denise. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Hello, Raya.
Hey, I have the phone on low because the grandbabies are here. Here, go ahead. So I hope you can't hear them. I have them on low. Yeah, they came over to see the Gima.
I did not hear them.
I'm loving on them. Okay, amen. I love you guys. Does anybody have a testimony? Nikisha, you have a testimony?
No.
I have been healed from glaucoma in Jesus' name.
Glaucoma, you've been healed?
Yes.
Really? Amen.
Yes, ma'am. The last time I went to
How
the doctor.
How did you get healed?
God.
I prayed about it.
And the next time I went to the doctor, they said that they had no traces of it. They can't find it nowhere. So I have to go back in 6 months to make sure that it doesn't put, you know, they don't see it anymore. But I don't even need wear my glasses anymore.
Are you serious, girl? Amen.
Did you see me in my glasses the whole week you were here?
You know, actually, I didn't. I didn't even see you with any sunglasses on.
Because I don't need them no
Amen.
More.
Amen.
Glaucoma is gone.
Girl, amen. Because you sure didn't have any glasses. You didn't have no glasses on.
Nope.
Yes.
That's serious. I couldn't even go anywhere without my sunglasses, even in the winter.
I remember.
It's 119
yes,
outside, and I don't see. That is amazing.
It's 119 right now.
Yeah,
oh, God.
It's 119 today.
Oh. Oh, amen. Well, that's a beautiful testimony. Yeah, grandma, my auntie had glaucoma, and her eyes was turning. Like, I think it does, like, a gray film or something over your eye.
Yeah.
To where sometimes you're kind of blind, a little blinded,
you,
or
you
can
go blind.
You can
go completely blind with glaucoma, yeah?
Yeah,
because
so all praises to the Most High.
I haven't had any migraines, no eye pressure, no pain, nothing in Jesus' name.
Amen. God is good. Amen. All praises. Jesus, thank you, Heavenly Father. I just thank the Lord, too. I thank him for the breath of life. I thank him for this beautiful day. I got to go outside. I got to walk around the park. Got to go to the gym, the spa, spend some alone time with the Father, pray, meditate.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, sometimes it's good to be alone and just you can just think clearly.
For him to be able to speak to us, no distractions.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, and I was telling Sister Mary that I was eating so much out of your house. I said they were cooking for me every day. I was just eating. I was like, what's wrong with me? Ooh, Jesus. But thank you once again for your hospitality. I do appreciate it. Yes, sir, that's ice. Is it too cold for you? It is. Okay, take your time. So anyone else have a testimony or want to share anything or want to tell us anything? No, we're just going to be quiet. Usually Brother Miles plays a song. I don't even see the song list here. I would hate to play something and he gets on. These are all so long. I don't know.
Play Deliver Me from Leandra.
If I see it on, I don't think I see that on. I don't see that one on here. I don't, let me see. Too cold, man. Yeah, I don't see that one on here. I pray if I play something and it doesn't.
Can you guys hear it?
Yeah.
No.
Can
you guys hear me?
Are you? Yes, we can hear you. Yeah.
All right.
All right, so I'm going to play this song and I'll be back in about 5 minutes. I need to make some annotations.
Amen.
Make me a house. Make me a house. Make me a house. Make me a house. A house of prayer.
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. A house of prayer.
The fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
A house of prayer.
Day and night,
day and night,
oh,
day and night.
And so, you know, we have a problem with this word Christian, but we're talking English, or we're talking English and Greek. Well, English is a conglomeration of a lot of languages. Our words come from all over the place. So you cannot say that English, and this is not the bad mouth English or anything, but it's just a fact. The English language is a conglomeration of a lot of different languages. We take words from a lot of different languages. So Christ, Christos, is a Greek word. It's not an English word. God is a German word. So we take English is a conglomeration of all these. There is no pure English language. If you can understand that.
Wow.
And so finding the truth about something, you know, that's why when you're studying the word, you definitely need a dictionary. And sometimes you have to go back into and find out, you know, where did this word originate at? To even understand, you know, what the word truly means. And sometimes words, the meaning of those words, they do what? They morph over time. They change. I can say, you know what? That dress you got on is bad. But the original meaning of the word bad is not good. But we have
right. Organized
it, and now bad is what? Good. And so you have to, you know, when doing your studying and all this kind of stuff, you have to go back and look at the origins of words. Where did this word come from? What did it originally mean? What did it mean at the time that it was written in this book? Does that make sense? You got to find out what it meant.
Yes, sir. That makes sense.
At the time that it was written in this book. Because it may not mean the same thing today, and people are taking, you know, the scriptures, and without the Spirit of the Most High, without the Ruach HaKodesh, you cannot come to truth in scriptures, no matter what language you read. I don't care if it's Greek or Aramaic or Hebrew or whatever. It has to be the Spirit that gives you the understanding, because you got to go to the author of the book. If I wrote a book and I gave certain definitions to certain words, and I was using certain definitions to certain words, but I didn't tell you what those definitions were, or even if I did tell you, if you already had a definition for that word and that's what you put to it, if it's different than the definition that I put to the word when I wrote it, then your understanding of what I'm saying could be what? Wrong. Because you put what your definition of the word is and what you understood it to be. And this is what happens a lot in the scripture. So the true gospel has not been preached into the world, or else Messiah would be back here. That's what he
said.
When the gospel of the kingdom is preached, then shall the end come. So 2,000 years and nobody's been teaching the truth. Started off, and then it sort of went into darkness because, the Catholic Church took it over. And when we have the Reformation, where anybody know what the word Protestant means?
Protestant?
Mm-hmm. Because you hear people saying they're a Protestant, but what does that mean?
Protestant means a member or follower of any of the Western Christian churches that are separate from the Roman Catholic Church and follow the principles of the Reformation, including the Baptist, Presbyterian, and Lutheran churches.
Yeah, and that word simply means we protest what the Catholic Church is teaching.
Amen.
So if you look at that word Protestant, you see protest.
Yes.
So rather than saying a protester, they call it a Protestant. Okay? Now, and somebody has a lot of white noise in the background. I don't know what that is. It's not there now. Okay, cool. So we got to understand that the Catholic Church took over the world. And it was, as far as quote-unquote Christianity goes, the authority for many, many, many centuries until the Reformation, when people, when they translated the Bible out of the Greek and the Hebrew into a language that most people could understand, not Latin. And people start saying, oh, what they're saying about this is wrong. What they're saying about this is wrong. That's not what this is saying. And so you have all these other denominations that cropped up that are not Catholic. They are what's called Protestant or protesters of the Catholic faith. So truly in the world, you're either a Catholic or you are not if it comes to this gospel. Now, that being said, the true gospel of the kingdom has never been taught by the church world. They were protesting the rules and the regulations that the Catholic Church put upon them. But they weren't really concerned about the gospel. What is this all about? The Catholic Church set itself up as the government of Elohim on the earth. And the Pope carries the title, the Vicar of Christ. Elohim on the earth. And so we got to understand what we are up against. So had the Catholic Church been the true government of the Most High, Christ would have returned already. Because it did what the Catholic Church has done, what the Most High said to do. However, it was set up so that man could be in charge and not the Most High. And it doesn't bring people into the body of Messiah the way that the scriptures say. So anybody can be baptized. Anybody can be baptized. But it's what you're baptized into. And I'm just sort of giving us an overview so that we have an understanding of what we are doing and what we are coming against, what the Most High wants us to come against. And it's even the churches of the world. But if they say that they're for him, he says, don't fight with them. Don't fight with them. So we don't want to get into arguments of doctrine with them. He says, they that are not against you are what? Come on out, Bible scholar. I know that that's going.
For you, with you.
They are for you.
Not against you,
they are not against you, they're for you. Okay? So he said, you know, this is a hard thing for a lot of people to understand. Okay. In Messiah, you're gonna have all these people that say that they are believers. That say that they are, you know, about doing the work of the Most High. And they are going to be trying to, you know, as far as they're concerned, doing his work. But he says that he is the one that judges everyone. So when we, you know, just like when the disciples said, hey, these people over here are casting out demons and they're not with us. And they're using your name. And Messiah says, those that are not against us are for us. So let them do that. However, the truth of the matter is how do you become a citizen in the kingdom? Because that's the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the good news. How do you become a citizen? You can't just say, I'm a citizen. That's not the formula that the Most High put in place. That's not the method that he put in place. So you can say, oh, I believe in Christ, and you go get baptized, then you still walk in your sin. How does that work? Well, I just cleaned your bar of sin, and now you can run back into it. So it's not the true gospel of the kingdom, and it's not the true structure of the kingdom. You know, everybody that comes into the kingdom of the Most High has to be loyal to the Most High. Truthfully loyal to him. And loyal to his government. and agree to live by the law of his government. You know, if you said, you know what, I don't believe in the laws of the United States of America, and I'm coming against everything that it stands for, and do you know that they could charge you with sedition, with treason? Now, we're allowed to speak out about it, but if you start doing things that circumvent, undermine the government of the United States, they can arrest you, throw you in jail. If you do things that try to bring down the government, which we had, you know, some people do, even that attack in December or whatever, when those people stormed Congress, don't you know that those were acts of sedition? But the government sort of allows for that. Under our laws, if the people believe that the government is overstepping its boundaries, that the government could come back and say, you know what, we put down this uprising and all of you, we're charging you with treason and sedition. And because it was life lost, we're going to put you up in front of a firing squad. And it is a, you know, death penalty. Now, when it comes to the government of the Most High, people don't treat this like a government. It's something that is, it really, really doesn't exist. And that is what we have to get away from. We have to know that the government of the Most High truly exists and that he wants it established in the earth and he wants himself to be the head of it.
Amen.
And all the statutes, the laws and the commandments, the feast days, all of these, like the feast days, are national holidays. They weren't just given to one tribe. They were given to the entire nation of what, Israel. But these are going to be global holidays as well. So right now, can anybody tell me a global holiday that they know of? Come on now, this one should be super easy. A global holiday. All right, I'll give it to you for the sake of time. Christmas is about everywhere in this world.
Yeah, just about everywhere.
It was recognized as a global holiday. Same day for every nation, for those that observe it. The feast day, Easter. If you are a Christian, no matter where you're in the world, Easter is a global holiday. But is there a holiday called Easter in the scriptures?
No.
And when we look at Easter, even though we tie it to the Most High, it's actually tied to the goddess Esther, the goddess of fertility.
Mm-hmm.
But Christians, you know, celebrate this holiday. We celebrate it as well, but we don't call it Easter. We call it the Feast of the First Fruits. And it doesn't have anything to do with Esther or fertility or bunny rabbit. So it is taking those things that the world has taken from the Most High and tied him to it, which he says don't ever do, and establishing the nation and the people that will keep the statutes, his laws, and his commandments, the way that he said. Even in Israel right now, they have reestablished, quote-unquote, the nation of Israel. But the Most High said one of the signs that we would have is that Israel will be, Jerusalem will be downtrodden. Under who? Until he returns.
Until he returns. Until his father returns.
Until he returns, but who will it be downtrodden up under?
He said the Gentiles.
Right. So as long as he's not here, who's going to be in charge of Jerusalem? The Gentiles. So who is in Israel right now?
The Gentiles.
It's true. I mean, the scriptures tell us who's got to be there. It tells us what has to be in place. This will be, Jerusalem will be downtrodden by the Gentiles until he returns. So we got to know that who's ever in Jerusalem, whoever's controlling it, are not the people of the book, in other words. Does that stand? So if we go over there, if Messiah's not here, because he says he would bring us back, if Messiah's not here and we try to go back and establish ourselves in Jerusalem as a nation and he's not here, then we are out of order. So we got to understand what he's given us authority over. He's given us authority over the rest of the world. He says that area, that's his, and he will clean it up when he comes back. That's why when you look at Jerusalem and you look at Israel right now, 25% of the population of Israel is gay. How can you be gay in the promised land and live there comfortably, be the gay capital of the world? And the Most High said, that's a death sentence. And that can't be allowed amongst us. You know, I got nieces and nephews that are gay, but I have to tell them, you know what? You're either going to have to stop doing what you're doing or you're going to the lake. I love you as an individual, but I don't love what you're doing. And the Most High don't love it. And it can never be allowed. No matter what the government says, we as a body have to stand against it. So a lot of the churches, can anybody tell me which of the Ten Commandments says thou shalt not be gay?
None of them.
So if you only say you follow the Ten Commandments, then you can't come against being gay.
Ooh-wee.
That's the problem that they have. They don't follow all the commandments of the Most High, so when they say we only follow the Ten, none of the Ten say you can't be gay. And so we have to follow what? All the scriptures. Can't just follow the Ten Commandments. And if we say that we only follow the Ten, we couldn't come against it. So this is what this document and what we're doing, this is what this is all about. But everything, you know, if you don't have something written, if you don't abide by what is written, then people will do whatever's right in their own eyes. But brother, where does it say that at? Well, that's what the person last who was in charge did. But now they're not here, and there was nothing written. So we have to be organized. We have to have written documents, and we have to abide by those documents. Everything that we are putting in here, in this document, is based upon scripture. And the scriptures are annotated as part of whatever article, paragraph, and what have you, because as far as the world is concerned, everybody, all Christians have the Bible. But do you think all Christian organizations operate the same way? They don't. And so it's the document and how they have written it to say, this is what we're doing. It's what they have to go by. And when our brothers don't do that, and when they don't abide by, you know, we're saying we're going with what the Bible says, okay? How many of you have heard different interpretations of anyone given verse? This is how I understand this, what this verse says. This is what I understand this verse to say. Do we hear that a lot? Even amongst ourselves. We read something and say, well, that sounds like this is what it's saying to me. And we can all read the same verse and get a different meaning. So that's why quote unquote doctrine is important. All the different denominations have gotten together because the people who read the Bible, when they read it, this is what it said to them. That's what it sounds like to me. Yeah, it sounds like that to me too. Let's start a church. We all believe the same way. We all read this and we can agree that this says this. Whether it's right, wrong, and different, that's what they have done. That's why we have all these different denominations reading the same book. Everybody, the way Most High showed me, is everybody has the facts. Okay? Everybody reads the Bible, and they get verses, and they can quote the verse. And everybody has the facts, but everybody does not have the truth. If you have the facts, how is it that you can come up with not the truth? Can anybody tell me how that happens? Group participation. Anybody tell me how you can have all the facts in a matter and still not come up with the truth?
Say that again, Brother Miles, how you can have all the facts of what again?
I said, how can you have all the facts and still not come up with the truth? Anybody know how that can happen?
The way it was presented.
The way it was presented? You in the ballpark?
Yes.
Yeah, you're in the ballpark. But if we keep it, let's just keep it simple, okay? Because I'm really a simple man. I really am. And I asked them how to make this like a fourth grade book to me. But the truth of the matter is, you can have all the facts, but if you don't present the facts in the correct order, you will not come up with the truth. It's just that simple. You can have all the facts, but if you present them in the wrong order, you will not come up with the truth. The only one in this world that can give you the correct order is the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can arrange in the correct order.
Amen.
So you can come with a lot of facts. That's what lawyers are for. Lawyers are there. They're supposed to take the facts, and they try to present them in such a way to be favorable to what you, your lawyer tries to present the facts of the case favorable to what you, right? And the other person's lawyers try to present the same facts favorable to what? Them. It's the same fact. But your lawyer might present them in a different order to make you look, to present you in a better light. And it may not be the correct order, but it's favorable to you. And it may not even be the truth, but it's the fact. So you can go to court, fact. But whoever convinces the judge or the jury that your set of facts were presented better or in a better order, and it seems to it's more believable this way than that. And both of them could be a lie. But you're looking at the facts. The Most High wants the truth. He says we must worship him in spirit and in what? Truth. So we have to have the facts arranged in the correct order in order to come up with the truth. So the gospel of the kingdom, that is our priority, to go and preach this gospel of the kingdom, and whatsoever I have taught you, teach other men. But you got to do it in truth. I can't be teaching you stuff because it's favorable to me. Oh, I'm after the tithe. I'm after getting paid. So I'm gonna teach you things that will keep you happy. That will make you feel good about no matter what you do, God will forgive you. Because I need to keep you happy. And that is not what this word says. So the truth has to always be taught. And, you know, I look at people and I go and read other people's sermons. I look at, you know, where they're coming from, you know, they'll give their background, and then I say, okay, how does this line up in Scripture? How does it line up with the Word of the Most High? And a lot of times I have to pray to the Most High on it. Show me how this lines up or how it doesn't. Because the truth matters. I can teach us all a lot, and we can all be headed toward the lake. You, me, and everybody else. Because I taught you a lie and you ate it. And now your decisions are based upon that lie. So this is critical. What we're doing is critical to the kingdom. It's critical to each of us. Nobody wants to, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be doing all this and end up in the lake because somebody told me a lie, and I believed it, and I never went to the Most High on it, thinking I'm going, you know, I'm going to make it in, or I got a good chance, and everything that I believe, not everything, but the most critical things that I believe were a lie. So the doctrine is important, and who's interpreting the scriptures for you. The only one that can put these scriptures in the proper order is the Most High himself, the Ruach HaKodesh. You and I can read them, and we will come to a certain understanding. If we were coming strictly from our carnal minds, if I say the hair was going down the street, what did I just say to you? Anybody? The hair was going down the street. What did I just say? Am I talking about H-A-R-E? Am I talking about H-A-I-R? You can't tell from that sentence, can you?
No, and I see what you're saying. H-A-R-E is a rabbit, and H-A-I-R is our physical hair on our head.
Right.
Okay.
But if I don't define it for you, or if you can't tell from the context of the sentence, then you can make that say whatever you want it to say, whatever you want to believe it.
Correct.
And this is the problem with a lot of our brothers and our sisters in this work. So, you know, even within the scripture, the Messiah said, Peter, do you love me? In the English, we see the word love. But when you go to the Greek or the Aramaic or the Hebrew, he's asking them three different ways. Do you love me? Do you love me like family? Do you love me like a friend? Do you love me like the Most High Elohim loves me? Three different types of love. But in the English, all we see is what? Love. And so we have to understand that a lot of times you got to dig into it and then you got to go to the Most High. Article 14. Anytime after we have agreed upon, after we as a body, and I said it this way, most of us told me to say it this way, right now we're doing it as a body. Eventually there will be a council, which is typically like a board of directors. These council members, they will have say up until a point, because the Most High has said the office of high priest is the office of high priest. And the council is to advise the high priest. We are, what does the scripture say that we are? We are kings and what?
Priests.
And priests. Whoever is put into a certain office, we have to respect that office because, as far as I'm concerned, the Most High is going to have to assign these people. And they're going to have to be full of the Ruach. And after I'm gone, after you're gone, you know, the procedures and everything have to be in place to try to protect the organization from corruption.
Amen.
You know, because this is not something that, you know, I don't see this work ending when I end. To the Most High decide that he's not coming back right then. When I end or you end, when we go to sleep, the work should not stop. The reclaiming of our children, the work should never stop. Until we can present a seed to the Most High that is pure and acceptable to him, because they were taught from their infancy, from their youth, the word of the Most High, in truth. This is how important this work is. So any amendments right now will be made by, we will have to vote on it as a body. But eventually, that wording will be changed, and it already is there, that the council, if there's something that is not or being interpreted the wrong way, I want men that are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh to make the changes to this document. This is the governing document in a way that it is fully in line with the scriptures and doesn't go outside of that.
Amen.
That's a hard thing to find today. I'm finding that, I don't know why, our men are in bad shape. I'm just going to say it that way. Our men are in bad shape. And we really do need a special interdiction.
Amen.
Now the women, I'm going to be truthful with you, is the women are not so much the problem. It's the men, but because they won't step into the roles, into the place that the Most High has ordained them to be.
Amen.
So, yeah. Anyway, amendments to the Constitution may be made by a majority vote of voting covenant fellowship partners of the Presbytery. So right now, I'm bringing this to you guys, and we are voting on different what? Articles. Now, when the organization gets too large and the Most High sends the people who are supposed to be in place in these offices, who understand the gospel in accordance with the way this document is going to be written and the way the scriptures, because, you know, like I said, people, it's hard to get people to agree 100% on anything. But if we're supposed to be of one mind, one spirit, we have to be governed by one spirit, the spirit of the Most High. Period. So when it comes to that, I don't play around with this. You know, that's why I've invited a lot of people, a lot of brothers even, into this. And when I talk to them, I'm like, what's your understanding of Ruach? What's your understanding of his role in your life? Have you had the experience that is in this book? If not, I can't put you in a position because you're going to be coming of your own self. I don't care how good you are, and I can love you to death. But the truth of the matter is, the Most High has to be in charge, and that's the one spirit that we have to have, barring none. No compromise in that. And you might say, well, how do you know if they got the spirit? Anybody tell me, answer that for me? How do I know if you have the spirit?
It'll show in their words and in their actions.
Show in their works and in their actions? Could they just be trying to be good?
Not all the time.
Not all the time?
No, no, none of the time.
Amen. We ever read the scripture where it says the Spirit testifies that we are the children of Elohim? The Spirit itself testifies. The Spirit itself will tell me whether you belong to him or not. He will tell me. That's hard for a lot of people to hear. But Yah Elohim, he talks to us still today. And he'll tell you.
Yes, yeah.
He'll tell me whether you are acting. It just, you know, I just got to go before him and ask him. Is that you? The Spirit testifies of itself. That's me and that sister. That's not me and that sister. That's me and that brother. That's not me and that brother. He testifies of himself.
Okay.
And we have to understand that. That's why I don't want you ever following me. Ever. I want you following the Spirit of the Most High. Period. Because how many of us have followed a man only to find out that that wasn't right? Only to find out that here's a lot of mess. And we thought that, you know, they were doing the right thing, but when it came down to it, they really weren't. I've been there. And the Most High said, you're either going to get my spirit, or you're not going to do this work. You know, so I can testify for myself for years. I was in the church. I was at church. I would see people get filled with the Holy Spirit, and he wouldn't fill me. I'm not telling you something that I heard. I'm telling you something that I know. He would not feel me because my heart was not right with him. I love some things in the world more than I loved him.
Mm.
Even though he had chosen me, and I had, you know, I have to say it that way, just be truthful. And yeah, I had chosen me, and I still was looking at things in the world and desiring them more than I desired him or his kingdom. Had to be because I kept chasing after it. Until he told me, I heard, like I say, I repeat the testimony, I will not forever call you. I want you to hear that. Imagine you hear the Most High saying that to you. I will not forever call you. What mode would you go into? I got to
get right.
That's right. Get right and get right now. Tomorrow ain't promised to you, and this is the last time I'm calling you. I've been calling you since you were a child. Woke you up when you were 21, told you to preach my word, and you ran into the street. I will not forever call you. That was, you know, I knew what he was saying. So the things that I tell you, I'm not telling you because I read them. Because I know what I prayed to the Most High for from the very beginning. I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be this, you know, have all this power. It's not what my desire is in life. My desire is that I can teach these scriptures and make it like a fourth grade book so people don't have a problem understanding. That they can walk in and not be in confusion, not be, you know, living a lie. That was my prayer. And he has made this book like a fourth grade book to me. He answered my prayer and said, okay, I'm going to do this for you. But you hard-headed, stiff-necked. I was a Hebrew and didn't know it, truthfully, because I was hard-headed and stiff-necked. Even had an apostle or prophet. We went to this man, and he had the fivefold ministry within him. Just looked at me and said, oh, you're a hard-headed, stiff-necked. Hadn't even talked to me. But he knew. And so I had to stop being hard-headed and stiff-necked. I had to, you know, come to the place where I desired the Most High more than I desired anything in this world.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, you're either going to come, and you're going to come now, and you're going to come for rest, or I'm going to turn you over to a reprobate mind. And you're still going to be out there trying to preach and teach, but it ain't going to be the truth. Because I'm going to put a lie in you. He does these things, and people just don't understand that. He will do it. If you want to be evil and wicked, he will use you for evil and wicked. Is there calamity that has happened in a city and I have not caused it? Is there evil that has happened in a city and I have not caused it? He will use you. To bring about wickedness. To bring about evil. So I believe everything that he said. And I told him, you know, I want to have the experience that is in this book. I want to have the same experience that all the apostles had. I want to know that what is written is truth. That it's not just a story. He did that for me. So I know that what is written in the gospel is true. I know that what is written in the Gospels concerning salvation is true. I know that the experiences that the apostles had, it is true. It's not something that I believe. It's something that I know. Because I asked them to do it for me just like he did it for them. There's nothing, the Most High says, prove him. He don't say test him, though. He says prove him. Ask me something that you know only I can do in your life and watch me do it. And then believe. Because he wants us, he doesn't want us to worship him blindly. He wants us to know that who we are worshiping and why we fear him. If you don't know the Most High, you can't really fear him. How are you going to fear something that you don't really believe in, that you don't truly believe in, that you don't really understand who he is and what he will do? If he is something that you or someone that you have made up in your what? Mind. If you don't believe the things that are written about him as a testimony, you can't really fear him. That's why everybody, you know, a lot of these people are looking for a buddy. They're looking for a friend. They're looking for an all-forgiving God, someone who never takes out retribution, but someone who never punishes you, who no matter how human you are, he will always accept you. That is not the God of his life. That is the God that the world is teaching. That's not the God of this Bible. And so we can read these scriptures in a certain way, and we can come up with a certain type of truth, because that's what we need to hear. That's what we want to hear. And that's why we say all scripture, not just what we want to accept. Because I know some things people read, they don't really want to accept it. It's in the Word of the Most High, but that don't mean that they want to eat that. So we want to eat the Word of the Most High. We don't want to eat any lies. That's what Satan does. Satan will mix the truth with a lie. He will present the fact in the wrong order, but it sounds good. That's what he did to Eve. He didn't tell Eve a lie. He just restated the facts in such a way that she would eat it. And she ate it. And so we have to understand the truth is important. And we don't want to be doing things the same things just to be doing the same. You know, there are scriptures that things that I've taught you guys that the Most High showed me because I was guilty of it. And he had to show it to me. You think you're walking right? What about this? And why are you looking at this through this filter? So when I teach you Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 29, the Most High had to first show me in it, show me myself in it. And what I was doing to Messiah. It's because I was doing what I was taught.
Just went to that bathtub. Yeah, she gonna smell them under them mouth. Yeah, so fun of that. Go.
Sister Denise, we can hear you.
Come on. Okay.
Let us go to the book of Acts, chapter 20. The book of Acts, chapter 20. And I'm telling you all of this because I want us all to be just real with the Most High. Be, you know, 100% committed to Him. No matter what we might have thought we were on, that we are all about His kingdom. Because tomorrow is not promised to any of us. And if you're gonna put your faith and hedge your bet on what is real and what is not, if you don't believe that this is real, you should not be doing it. If you don't believe that the Most High is real and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, you should not be doing this. Because He says nothing that you do is really going to ever prosper itself. Because He's never going to really answer those prayers. Because you ask in what? Doubt. And we can work hard. And we can work our fingers to the bone. And still never achieve what we were after. And still miss the kingdom. Because our priorities were wrong. Let's go down to verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. And when you have, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Take heed, therefore, to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the assembly of Yah and Elohim, which He purchased with His own blood. That's the web version. Let me go back to the KJV. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of Elohim, which He has purchased with His own blood. This is a serious matter. Requires the life of Messiah. He gave His life for this. He rose again. But the truth of the matter is, He had to go see death for us. That's why I say, even when we remember Him, He says, remember what? Remember my death. Remember what I went through for you. We have to always keep that up front. It's like, I want you to put yourself in Messiah's shoes for a minute, but let me try to humanize this more. You're a parent, and you get up every morning, and you have children. So you're a parent. You've got to have children to be a parent. And you get up every morning, and you do for your children. You make sure that, you know, they have food to eat. You make sure that they have clothes on their back. You make sure that they have, you know, a way to school and back. They come back from school. If they have any problems, you're going to check it out, making sure they're not being abused. You make your children your life. Because once you had them, it became all about them. And making sure that you know, that they were getting what they needed. And maybe they would come out further ahead than what you started. And then they turn around and tell you, you never did anything for them. How would you feel about that?
I'd be hurt.
Amen. We all would be hurt, we know. How do you think we make the Most High feel? When He says, I came and I gave my life, all that I had. I mean, if you give your life, are you coming back? If I give my life, literally, I'm not coming back either. He came back, but He said, you know what? That's so that you would have the promise that you also will come back. But the fact that you can't appreciate, you felt like I did nothing for you, you treated like I did nothing for you, then imagine how he feels about that. And when we don't reverence him in the correct way, when we don't reverence his work, what he's done, if we don't appreciate it, if we don't value it, then imagine how he feels about that. And, you know, what I see and what I've seen in my life is people, this gospel, people have treated it like, oh, he's God, he can do anything. He says, you don't know what it took for me to lower myself. Lesser than I am to allow you to do what you did to me. And then you don't appreciate it. So those that he puts over his flock, do you think he wants them to take it seriously? To reverence the work of
God? Absolutely. Yes.
And to teach others to reverence it? To tell you that you don't have a spiritual bank that you can just keep coming, making withdrawals on? And that you're not reverencing the Most High Elohim, that our whole focus really has to change, that we have to be serious with this. So as an overseer, because this is where the Most High has placed me, to feed his church, he's the provider. He's the spirit. He's the one that's in charge. I am simply a vessel. And he wants the truth to be known. And he wants us to reverence him, what he purchased. I purchase you. Now, we're going to go back to slavery for a minute. And I know that's hard for some of us. But some of us really have never, no, I can't say some of us, none of us on this line have ever been enslaved like our forefathers were. Unless you've been in prison, you might not even be able to totally relate to this. Because if you're in prison, then somebody tells you when to go to bed. Somebody tells you when to get up. Somebody tells you when you can go eat. Somebody tells you when you can go into the yard and play. So a prisoner might be able to relate to this. That's why a lot of our brothers coming out of the pen, I don't think that they're being taught the gospel correctly, because they have been they should understand what true slavery is like, not to have your freedom to come and go as you please. Right now, if it wasn't for the money, nobody's got a gun to your head saying you got to get up in the morning. Nobody's got a gun to your head saying you have to eat at this time. Nobody has a gun to your head to say you got to go to bed at this time, lights out. Nobody's got a gun to your head saying, hey, you can't go over to the next people's house, or you can't go over to the next city, or you can't go to the mall. So understanding the position that our forefathers were in slavery, they really had no choice in anything that they did. But you and I have a choice. You can choose to serve the Most High with all, with your all, as he says, or you can choose not to. It's strictly up to you. But as his overseer, as he, this is the position he has placed me in, I have a question to ask, and I'm not going to answer this for you today, but it's going to come up again because we got to understand. What is an angel? Come on now, I'm going to study you.
Are you talking about cherubim, seraphims, and cherubims, angels?
I didn't say what type of angel. I just said, what is an angel?
Uh-huh.
A what?
A spirit.
A spirit. What does that word angel mean? Couldn't hear you.
I can say that again.
What does the word angel mean?
An angelical being? Am I saying that right?
What? I'm sorry, say that again.
Angelical being, I might not be saying it right. Angelical, I can't say it.
It says a messenger of God.
That ding, ding, ding. A messenger. That's what that word means. Messenger.
Yes, it's messenger.
Let's go to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter, I think it's 21, might be 22. I just want to show you something. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22. And when you have it, you say amen.
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 Let's start at verse 1. And we'll end here for the day. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of Elohim and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of Elohim and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Yah Elohim giveth them light, for they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And Yah Elohim of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the things of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard him, and heard them. And when I have heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Now, what did the angel say to him? Then saith he unto me, see that thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy who?
Brethren.
The prophet. Who is this angel?
Brethren, the prophet. The
is
messenger.
This a spiritual being?
His anger to show unto his servants.
Is this a spiritual being?
I am thy
fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophet.
Oh, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophet, of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Oh, my God.
This is not a spiritual being.
Oh, my goodness.
All angels are not spiritual beings. All angels aren't a seraphim or a cherubim or any other type of heavenly angel. Some angels walk right before you.
Hmm.
I just want you to keep that in mind. This angel that he is talking to, this angel don't have wings. This angel is flesh and blood. All of the prophets were what? Messengers, were they not? And
amen.
Who were they the messenger for?
Jesus Christ.
For the Most High. This one was the messenger of Mashiach. Keep that thought in your mind, because hereby he says, you may have been entertaining angels, what? Unaware. All angels in the scriptures are not angelic heavenly beings. And a lot of the scriptures that are interpreted that way, that people interpret that way, some of them have been misinterpreted. Nevertheless, we will stop with this on this evening. You could be an angel. We'll have this conversation again another time. Let us bow our heads.
Amen to that.
Let us bow our heads. Father, we come before you to be in your presence, to hear your word. Father, we just want the truth. We want to serve you in spirit and in truth. Father, let your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Make us your vessel. Work through us, Father. Let your will be done in our lives. Father, we just want to bring you glory. We want to see your face. We want to see you for who you are. You said that in this present time. You said that we are now the sons of Elohim, the children of Elohim. But it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we will be like you. But Father, we believe your word. We know that when you shall appear, that if we have sought after you, that in the moment, in the blink of an eye, we shall be transformed. And we shall be like you. And Father, to this end, if we go to sleep, we go to sleep with this hope within us that you will resurrect us and fulfill everything that you have promised us. We walk in your promises. We believe them. They sustain us. And it is to do thy will that motivates us. Father, keep your angels on their post, both spiritual and those that are in the flesh. Let them guard over your people and to keep them safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, at the appointed time, Most High Elohim, continue to love us. Spread your grace and your mercy upon us. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
We are going to call, I'll make a motion that we call this meeting, call this meeting to an end, that we adjourn this meeting. Do I have any second?
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. All right. I am on call this week, and you know what happens when I'm on call. We will still have service. If we get interrupted for a hot second, you know, my priority is the Most High's dismission. So I may have to go off for 2 or 3 minutes, 4 minutes, whatever. But we will have the normal weekly Sabbath. And then, I know what I wanted to address today before we go. And maybe I need to do this at another time, but I'm going to do it here anyway. I want us to understand that we are not on the Gregorian calendar. We might use this days and stuff because that's how we identify. But our days start in the evening. And I want us to understand this so that when we have feast days and things like that, that we understand our day starts in the evening. So when the sun goes down today, it's not still the 10th of June. When the sun goes down, that is the start of what? The 11th. Mm-hmm. And that's when our day starts. It's not midnight to midnight. It's sunset to sunset. And so when we are looking at the calendar online, if it says it's a feast day, if it says the 10th, I have to put it out there that way for the simple reason our day starts, it is on the 10th, but it is our day will start in that evening. And so I will usually schedule that service for that particular feast day or whatever it is. The evening, well, we're going to say the day prior, but our day starts at sunset. And because the sun doesn't set at the same time all year long, then I have set a certain time to it. And in our case right now, typically that's going to be 6 p.m. Wherever you're at. But as far as the services go, it's 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. No matter where you're at in the world, no matter where you're at in the United States, that's what we have set for ourselves here. Because the sun goes down earlier in the winter than it does in the summer. And it could be night at, in some places, at what, 4 o'clock? 4:30. So the standard time, and as far as if you get a letter from me to give to your employer, it will tell you that, you know, your day starts or ends at 6 p.m. as a standard time. So they understand that, hey, if you need to be off, you can't say sunset because that, you know, that could be different times throughout the whole year. And your boss will say, hey, you ain't supposed to be leaving until sunset. But then it might be 4 o'clock, 4:30, certain times of evening. So that there's a standard. Okay. So I want it understood that if you look at, you know, if you go out, you look at, let's say, a new moon calendar, and whatever day it says it's on, just back it up one day because just remember, we're going to start the evening prior because that's when our day starts. And to understand scripture, we got to go by what the Most High says, the evening and the morning.
Wasn't the
morning and the evening. It wasn't 12 midnight to 12 midnight. This is how we conduct ourselves, and this is how we govern ourselves, and these are the rules that we are using. So I want everybody to be clear on that.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, remember, Yah loves you. Well, let me say this back up. Remember, I love you, but Yah loves you more. Don't follow me.
Man.
Follow Yah.
Yeah.
Shalom, family.
Shalom.
Shalom.
I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a